It's a good show.
Dan and Rand and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware they lack in grace, and sometimes choose the life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half price bail. I'm happy to say they couldn't make this up. So listen to our podcast jam with co-host Arm and Dan. Bender, don't be a jerk, cause when the music hits, the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down.
Stick around. Make a sound, hunker down, it's Dumb People Town.
Hey, townies, welcome to another episode of Dumb People Town. Population you?
Population Crowder.
Trey Crowder, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me. I'm pumped to be here.
If ever a guest was uniquely positioned and uniquely, I feel like, bred for this show, it is you, my friend. I am sort of new to the Trey Crowder train, but I am 100% aboard. I think you're awesome, dude. You have a great perspective, great comedian, great point of view.
I loved you on Real Time, and I told you that, and I thought you came off great on that show, and that's not easy to do.
Well, I appreciate you guys saying that. I mean, I was you know, like probably all of us, I was a big time comedy nerd and everything for most of my life. I've been wanting to get into comedy for a long time and have been doing it for like 8 years. But I say all that just to say I'm also a huge fan of you guys.
Oh, thanks,
have been for
man.
A while.
Thanks,
and
dude.
Thanks for having me and for saying that. And as far as Bill Maher's show, yeah, it's weird. We were talking a little bit off mic earlier about, like, as a comedian, you know, do you want to
be funny?
Do you want to say, you know, get points across? And yeah. I can tell you that as far as the producers of the show, like what they tell you when you're getting ready to do it is the latter more
get
so.
Get points across.
Yeah, that's what they told me. They're
You'll
like, we know
funny.
You're a comedian, right, but don't worry too much about jokes. Just worry about the main points that you want to try to make or
and
whatever.
Bill will make it funny and then you'll piggyback on that, and you guys had some great moments back
but
and forth.
But having
there.
Said that, you know, I thought of some jokes.
Of course you,
know?
Right. Of course you did.
Could not, but yeah.
What a great stage to put that out there. And I think about this show. And again, on this show, hi Dan. Oh, Dan's here.
Dan's here.
Dan, did you see Dan?
Usually to your left.
Dan is always here. The anchor.
On our left.
The anchor.
Dan Van Kirk's here. And Dan, I think you will agree with us. What I really love about this show is through the guests that we have on, we tend to get a great perspective from men, women, black, white, older, younger. It's been kind of a nice mix of people, but
for sure.
I don't think we've had anybody, you know, speaking from like the center, the heartland of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And well, yeah. South. I mean, Dan, you. Although Rochelle, I feel like we all probably have
you know,
a lot
weird.
In common because we all grew up in the Midwest.
Right. There's a weird like Southern dialect that works its way even into Northern Illinois.
Really?
Which I just more feel is rural.
Right.
Like
well,
it's a
I mean,
rural dialect.
And on that note, I've felt like just from touring the country and stuff and driving between big cities and various states, like, you know, there's a lot of similarities between like rural Washington, for example,
oh, yeah.
and you know,
and
rural
Kentucky,
rural, rural, Kentucky or rural Tennessee,
Pacific
or whatever.
Northwest.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, but I mean, what I love is
meth
again,
is available everywhere.
Yeah, right. People don't have teeth everywhere. Well, we feel like the world's getting dumber, and our only way to sort of combat that is through comedy. And thank God we have our dumb ears on the ground, sending us stories in. And Dan's got one to start
so
with.
So, can I,
yeah,
real
yes.
quick on that note?
You don't
yeah,
think the world's getting dummy?
I used to have a bit that I did for a long time that was all about how I didn't think the world was getting dumber. But I,
you
but
and Todd Glass.
I ultimately, the conclusion ultimately drew, which I heard, I think Dan say in a recent episode, is that I don't think we're getting dumber. It's that dumb people are way louder and their voice is way more like,
yeah.
You know, I used to say 100 years ago, stupid people couldn't even read and now they can tweet.
Yes.
You know, like that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, they actually have, they've figured out, they've gotten smart enough to get their message out there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we're hearing it.
Don't
more.
Get me wrong though. There's a lot of dumb, I just think that saying we're getting dumber, that means we're dumber than people used to be. And like, y'all know how dumb people used
people,
to be.
People
like,
used to be really dumb, but I feel
and that
like
is
we're
Todd,
back.
That is Todd Glass's
right.
argument. But here's what I would say. I would say this. I would say that we also have technology as a crutch right now,
sure.
which allows you to be dumber. You
right.
don't have to hold facts.
Well, that's what it is.
True.
You don't
yeah.
have to know things. I know people who, instead of reading, just go on Twitter. Like, we used to read books at night. I talk to people, and like across the board to a person, they're reading less books per year.
So I would argue
I do that.
I wish I read more. I wish I...
Well, so I think the dumb people are always going to be dumb.
Right,
I just think the middle people are now sliding downward and sort of joining that group. Well, and
the,
so
the thing is, technology allows you to create your bubble. So if you want to stay ignorant or believe that the earth is flat, you will be able to find your bubble of people that you all get to live in together and say dumb things, and no one calls you on it. Whereas 35 years ago, if you were the dumb person in whatever dumb town you lived in, but if you were the dumb person in town, and you were like, Earth is flat.
Shut up, Helen.
Yeah, everybody in town was like, dude, come on. They'd be like, kids, we're not going to his house for Halloween. That dude's a goof.
But the bubble
but
that you're living
now
in.
Can like create his bubble and the be on his page, his Facebook page, and be like, you guys are all think like me, right? And they're like, heck yeah, we do.
You have a lot more support. Well, the bubble that you're describing that the flat earthers live in is a flat bubble.
Oh, yeah.
Not even round.
Yeah. Not even a round bubble. Yeah.
They don't believe in bubbles.
That's right.
But they believe time is not a flat circle.
That's
the weird thing. They think time is a sphere.
That's the weirdest one to me, by the way. The flat earthers. Because my thing is, like, with most of those like crazy conspiracy theories, I can at least kind of understand what they are saying the end game is or the rationale.
It's but an
with
explanation
like flat earth,
for something.
Why?
I know.
What's the...
What are you fighting?
What's our globe heads? What's our rationale for this lie?
They were lied to about something. Now, maybe that was something very traumatic all the way from like, dad'll be back someday. Right. But whatever they were lied to about, they now thought, well, I'm being lied to about everything.
Yeah.
Right.
So they don't believe.
They've committed to distrust more than facts.
It becomes you're calling me wrong. And I think a lot of these stories that we get are people who lean into their wrongness as a point of pride.
They didn't have a no guy.
Do we have a thing?
Yeah.
Let's have a thing.
Actually, we don't have any stories.
Oh, no. I just talked to Trey.
This was sent in by Jay Melville at Quack79. Quack 79.
Quack.
Which I always say, I hope that means
there are 78
other
quacks.
78 quacks were taken.
Yeah. And he's like, I gotta go here.
Went till he got it.
You think this guy's just into ducks or he's a shitty doctor?
Exactly. Both. You
know, one of many shitty doctors.
Shitty doctor born in 1979.
Shawigan, a Madison man, was arrested Monday night after crashing into a police cruiser while intoxicated and operating his van from the passenger seat. That's a man with a plan.
Yeah, they frown upon that. They don't like that.
Well, the passenger seat is like, the passenger seat operation of a vehicle is like someone who gets to the edge of a cliff and is thinking, I can jump into like a quarry or something. I can do that.
Yeah.
And then they get up there and they realize it's a lot farther away than they thought it was.
Right.
But now you're stuck.
They got 1 foot over. I wanted to ask you guys, do you remember the first time a friend or family member asked you to take the wheel? Like while they were driving, like on a road trip, like take the wheel really quick.
Yes.
And you're like,
yeah.
I mean, I remember.
As a kid?
Yes.
No.
My mom would be like, I need you to hold the wheel for a second.
Who's your mom? Britney Spears?
What?
Right.
I'm not in her lap.
Okay.
Well, see, that's what I was about to say. Like, I had this one particular papa who was a truck driver, he was a drinker and a whore banger, but he also drove a truck a lot.
Sure. I mean, I would expect all three.
Triple threat.
Right. And so I would imagine it was probably in his lap, because he couldn't handle both the cigarette, you know, and whatever else. And I was probably
driving
seriously six or seven. No, not a truck. He had a big Lincoln Town Car that spontaneously combusted later, by the way.
That's
true.
Really?
That's true.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, spontaneous according to, Grandpa.
So he says. Right. Spontaneously combusted.
But so I don't remember, I assume, because it was pretty young.
But later on in life, you had a friend who was like, take the wheel while...
Yeah, or like, I imagine people do that all the time. Like, somebody just, I got to get something in my purse.
Yeah, take the wheel. So this guy's plan was, I'm not driving.
Right.
So who are you going to, you're going to give the DUI to a ghost?
Mm-hmm.
He
thinks he's immune to any penalties just because he's in the passenger
seat. Because what he could have said to himself,
the driver
left.
The cop
pulls me over,
yeah,
and now I'm just sitting in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
Driver, you didn't see him?
Yeah.
He ran out.
Took off.
Shawigan Police Chief David Bucknam said around 11:30 p.m. Monday.
Name.
David Bucknam,
just
you know he
full
goes by DB.
Yeah, DB's delight.
Yeah,
bend it like Bucknam.
He said 11:30 p.m. Monday. A Shawigan officer was conducting a routine traffic enforcement on Waterville Road. The officer noticed a van with its taillights out and attempted to stop it. This is always what gets people pulled over. I used to be a door guy in downtown, and I would just see car after car leave parking lots with their lights off. And
you're inviting the cops
you
to
should, I'm not happy so you're driving lights, anyway, but turn your lights on.
Wait, the taillights were off, meaning right. that the whole car's
probably,
lights
but he
were
was
off.
Probably from behind, so he just saw the taillights. The officer noticed the van with his taillights out and attempted to stop it.
Who can drive at night?
I know. It sounds like where on you some grew up. Backcountry road or whatever. Yeah. Like,
if you're driving at night with no lights from the passenger seat, this is not the first time you've done it.
Oh, you're like, yeah, I can do it.
Yeah, you've gotten home this way before mm-hmm. where people are like, you're not leaving. You're like, I'm not really driving. I'm fine.
I know these roads like the back of my hand, but it's fine.
From the passenger seat.
Tell me I can't drive from the passenger seat right. in the dark with no lights all the way. God damn it.
No one's telling you that you can't do that.
Tell me
I can't.
And literally, he can't see the back of his hand. You cannot see
you
it.
You own this bar. You're the only person left
here. Tell me I don't own this bar.
You're alone.
No one's disputing it.
So the driver notices, the police officer notices the taillights out, attempts to stop it, but the driver accelerated. So he's not even, he's in the right in his mind.
Yeah.
The driver turned the van into the New Balance outlet building.
Oh, God.
Which is a one-way entrance. The officer.
So it's a New Balance shoe outlet.
Yes.
What's so funny is that he's got a New Balance in his life. Yeah. It's a misbalance. Yeah, unbalanced. Yeah.
Well, remember when they said that New Balance was the shoe
of the neo Nazis,
shoe of white supremacists?
That
what?
Came up.
Yeah,
recently.
No, that really? Was a thing.
Yeah,
I'm gonna Google it and see if I can find what that
New
was.
New Balance
about.
Was like
it's gonna take you down
why?
The hole.
I don't know. I think it was
they
like,
just dig them.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't see a lot of black people wearing New Balance.
It's like red laces. You see somebody with red laces that do not talk. That
are you serious?
Yeah, but that's like a thing, though, right?
Yeah,
isn't the laces are like they got to earn those?
Yes.
It's like earning your stripes. You got to earn your laces.
Shit in neo-Nazi world. If
you have
red
laces.
That means it's like being made or whatever.
Yeah. See the movie. Know. Watch the movie Green Room.
That's how I know it.
See
too.
Me too.
That movie is fucking intense.
I know. That is one of the scariest movies.
Is it
going to
make me so mad?
No, it'll scare you.
It's
maybe
nuts,
maybe
man.
Crushes it though from Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm.
Crushes it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there is a Washington Post article. I just want
Washington
you to say.
Washington Post, which most people consider fake news.
Right.
Except for everybody
neo-Nazis have declared New Balance the official shoes of white people.
So they're not neo-Nazi shoes. It's just neo-Nazis claim them.
Right.
The shoes of white people. I mean, they could have said,
we could
MASH, the official sitcom of white people, and no one would have argued.
Do they have a press conference or something, or just put a memo out or whatever.
I mean, if you're New Balance and then you see that headline, you're like,
no. That's
by the way, if I'm New Balance, I'm getting a pair of those on Usain Bolt immediately.
Yeah. We'll pay you to wear them.
Thon Maker.
Yes.
I'm getting the blackest dude in the NBA to wear them immediately.
The driver of the van turned into the New Balance outlet building, which is a one-way entrance.
Of course.
The officer then went to the other entrance to stop the van. So that's like when you're your kid or your nephew or somebody runs one way and you're like, I'm just going to go the other way.
I'm going to the kitchen and
head him off at the pass, man.
So this cop.
This is some Smokey and the Bandit.
It is,
shit.
Yeah.
This cop was like, we're just going to go.
I know where you're ending up. I know where you're ending up.
And the guy when he drove into the one way the other way and saw the cop go the other way, he's like, I lost him.
Free and clear.
I got him.
I gave up.
Jason, I don't want to skip over the gem you just gave because that could be a t-shirt or the motto of every cop. I know where you're ending up.
I know where you're ending up.
Dumb people town. I know where you're ending up. The officer went to the other entrance to stop the van. Coming up to the van, the officer noticed the only occupant was a male in the passenger seat holding the wheel with his left hand and waving his right hand. I hope that means he was like, I'm going through. Move on.
Everything's good.
Or,
hey, I see you. I'm still going, though.
If you're
going
to drive for the passenger, you have to let go of the wheel when the cops show up. That's your only, happening.
It's moving in this part?
Yes.
It's still moving.
He's
over there waving.
I'm hoping waving him off. Yeah. You're in the way.
Right, yeah.
You don't understand. I need clear.
That's an extra. I'm going through the exit. You're the wrong here.
Meanwhile, he's going out the way you're supposed to come in.
The vehicle continued towards the officer and struck the driver's side door and front corner panel of the police vehicle.
Jeez.
Oof.
The driver of the van was identified as Rex Hinnernan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds
that
about
out.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the Hinnernan boys, like that is right, something that we all know in our county.
Yeah, you got to throw a Dem in there.
Every girl,
Dem Hinnernan boys.
They're no good.
They're no
bad news. Everybody knows.
The youngest one's sweet, but he's gonna get screwed up too. Yeah.
He's a little slow, but I like him.
Rex Hinnernan of Madison. I don't know, so I don't know why we gave him a
Southern dialect. By the way, and their father is definitely Old Man Hinnernan.
Oh, 100%.
Don't get an Old Man Hinnernan.
He has an on reserve spot at the flea market.
Like he's definitely beaten up a cow.
He's thrown like giant boulders at dogs that pee on his lawn.
Police questioned Hinnernan, who said that this is where his plan. You're going to hear it here. Police questioned Rex Hinnernan, who said that another man had been driving the van.
Oh.
But he didn't know who the man was.
Okay.
And that the man had gotten out of the vehicle and taken off running. Hinnernan said he wasn't driving because he didn't have a license.
Okay.
I hope all of this was delivered to a police officer before the cops said all words.
Yeah.
Hold up now. Here's what
with
happened.
With like no periods. Just not, all one
not
sentence.
Not even a breath.
I didn't know the driver.
I was driving. A guy got in. I do not know. And then he jumped out.
And then he went running. And I can't drive because I don't have a license.
That's why I'm over here. Thank God you showed up.
Sir, I just asked you your name.
Rex.
Rex.
R-H.
You know them internet boys?
Yeah.
No. R-H.
Yeah. R-H.
Old
R-H. Yeah, so he had this whole plan, and then he's like, it's not me. I can't even be driving. Thank you, officer. Mm. Thank you so much.
No.
I wonder at what point, you know, he hatched that scheme in his head, and also the execution of it. I mean, he had to pull at least that part off fairly efficiently because he kept he didn't wreck until the end. He got all the way over there.
You're asking, did he hatch that excuse as he was driving from the passenger side,
right,
or did he have that excuse in his brain and said, "I want to see if I can drive from the passenger side, and if anyone asks me, this is my excuse"?
No, I mean, like, he's driving down the road drunk with no lights on because you know some bitch told him he couldn't or whatever.
Yeah, right.
He's established all that,
right?
And then the cops show up. And now it's, you know, it's,
let me jump to the other
now
seat.
Now it's a problem, but it's all right because Rex got a solution.
I have a solution.
That's what I'm wondering.
He drove long enough to have a conversation with someone who was yelling at him about what he was doing, and his answer to all their questions built his story. What are you doing in the passenger seat? Who's driving? A man. Do you know him? No.
No.
Where is he now?
He ran away.
He jumped out.
Run away.
You shouldn't be driving. I know. Are your headlights on? No. Headlights freeze the deer. You're less likely to hit a deer
I tried to tell that somebody to turn the headlights on.
Oh, yeah. You think I can reach the headlights from here? Yeah.
I'm doing the best I can just to keep this thing on the road. He's like the guy who like fixes the porch not knowing how to fix a porch, but just the way he thinks it could be fixed.
Oh, yes.
And then
he sees himself,
and then it collapses on like four dogs.
With the wood with the wood you have available.
Right.
That's
not wood. That wood's rotten on the inside.
Like,
do you think he sees himself in his brain or in the best possible case as like a country Sully? He's like, I'm trying to land this plane.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean?
Like,
I'm going to land this plane and make sure everybody's safe.
Right. Yeah. Right, and he wants him to run it back like they do in the movie. Run it back. See if you can do a simulation.
See what I just did.
See if you can do a simulation and then arrest me. then they do it. He's like, you weren't planning for knowing the guy would jump out.
Yeah.
I didn't know he'd jump out.
Yeah, it's different.
He had pokes holes
when you know
in there.
He's going to jump out.
This guy's a wild card. I'm trying to tell you guys. No lights. Jumped out of the car.
By the way, I'm trying to tell you guys is probably something he said about 11 times.
And
I'm trying to tell you guys.
You know he offered to help them find him. I'll help find him.
I want Trey Crowder to be the voice of every guy who's just, I'm trying to tell you guys.
I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, I've been the voice of that guy.
Chief Bucknam said they called in state police to have a dog come smell the car. Now, I know what they're inferring.
Right, yeah.
But just having a dog come smell this car is not what you need state police for.
Ride would be if Exhibit's dog came to your car and just
said, we're
going to
do a show on animal.
You deputize Exhibit, and then anytime you need a search and seizure warrant, smell this ride.
That show on Animal Planet exhibits dogs smelling.
Smell my ride.
I'd watch that show.
That also needs to be the title of this episode.
Smell my ride.
But so that's how it's actually written in this article.
Yes.
Chief
Bucknam said they called in state police to have a dog come smell the car. Yeah. Police were able to determine that Hinnernan, Rex, was the only occupant in the van. How can they determine that?
I don't know. Well, the dog. Maybe that's what he was there for.
They're saying there's no one else been in this car.
Dog's like sniffing every seat for another scent.
Ready for another weird wrinkle in this dumb story? Mm-hmm. Rex Hinnernan also had two different license plates attached to the van. One ending in 320. The other ending in 3-2-1.
I want to confuse him.
Well, one of them was his, one of them was the driver's.
Yeah, he's gone now.
Simple. First of all, how does he get license plates in succession?
With a screwdriver?
Yes. And then why does he have two plates on his van?
I don't know.
It's unreal.
I've never seen a car with two. Never. In all of my years on this planet, I've seen a car with two plates.
Unless, and this is like the height of dumb.
Go there. Dig deep.
When they send you license plates, they come stacked on top of each other, but they wouldn't be different. Right. They'd be the same.
Right.
They'd be the same. All right, that
you
goes
helped.
Out the window.
You know, though, you tried to
I
help.
Was trying to help, like, and he thought there was only one, and so he nailed them, he screwed them both back into the back, but, like, they wouldn't be different.
No, that's a tough one. I can't even come up with, like, a,
right.
like so a dumb person rationale.
So they took one off, and there was one underneath.
That just said there were two on his car. There might have been one different on the front and one on the back. Mm.
So my guess is what he would probably be thinking would be, if I get busted again for drinking, I'm just going to switch plates to the plate, and then
switch seats.
And if I start out with both of them on there, that's half the work. Right. Right, when I get caught, all I got to do is take it off.
So the next time he's in one of the bucket seats in the back, foot up through the front. Rex,
so he's all about solutions. Yeah, this guy's like, I got a solution for everything.
This man is a contingency.
Yes.
Contingency Rex.
He's contingency.
Really what happened, somebody said,
Himmerman.
You can't drive home. You don't have a license. He said, I won't be driving.
Right. Yeah.
I will be, but I won't be.
I've got
in
two,
the driver's
by the way.
Seat.
And if they catch you, you're done. Yeah. No, I'm not. Like, he's got an answer for every single thing.
No,
like,
I'm
he's
not.
Working really hard to get out of it.
Hinnernan was arrested on charges of unlawful possession of scheduled drugs, attaching false plates, operating under the influence, and operating after revocation.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah. Now, here's where this story takes another weird turn. Mm-hmm. For no reason, this is what's written in this article.
Like, he has, like, an endangered alligator in the van or something like that.
It was a busy Monday for Shawigan police, as earlier in that same day, they were lead on an hour-and-a-half-long chase trying to catch a 600-pound bull that had escaped its trailer.
Okay, so they were led on a how long of a chase?
Hour-and-a-half.
Hour-and-a-half chase by a bull.
Of a bull. They were chasing a bull that had escaped its trailer. The bull ultimately ended up in the... Okay. Kennebec River.
So when we did, our first day of shooting on the movie Wild Hogs, the first day was the scene where John Travolta goes over and slaps a bull.
Okay.
And we're in that scene.
Yeah.
And then the bull goes crazy and then it like flips him up in the air.
Right.
And,
you're like on the bullpen, right?
We're standing on the fence.
Flips Martin like up on the, I don't know who it flips out there, whatever. So they have to have like three or four bulls just there because they might swap one out if one's not working and they have all the bull handlers. So this is a scene with like a bunch of crew, a bunch of animal handlers and everything.
Bunch of meds.
Right. And we pull up to the area of where all the trailers are and we see a bull running loose. It has gotten out of its pen.
No. Yeah.
This is our very first day of shooting.
We
pull up in our car and we're already nervous because like you're doing scenes with all these people and we pull up in the car and there's a bull running loose and he rammed into the side of a trailer like he was going to go hit it like with a bull thing, like rammed into it and then went on. That was like one of the scariest things I've ever seen. Is a bull like?
Yeah,
I can see raw power.
Yes, I can understand how
they
would
be
afraid.
And you're like, nobody can control this. That's how people feel about Rex Hinnernan.
Right. Yeah.
Have any of you ridden a bull?
No.
Driving mechanical. Not
yeah,
a real
me
one.
Too.
Mechanical.
Man.
I've been up on a mechanical.
I want to ride a live bull someday.
Damn, no,
it would be a no for me,
though.
Dude, just to feel like who knows what's going to happen. This is just.
I know what's going to happen.
You're going to break your neck. Dude, no, break my neck. I will wear every piece of safety equipment.
You can't save your neck.
You wouldn't do it.
No.
Man, I would do it in a heartbeat.
No way.
Josh Wolf has this show on Twitch now that I did the other day with Bert Kreischer and he told this whole story about getting gored.
Bert told a story.
Oh,
Bert Kreischer told a story.
He told a story.
Very odd.
Yeah.
But we'll go with you on that.
Where he got gored by a bull, basically, but one with, like, for a TV show that he was on years ago.
Travel Channel one.
Broke his ribs and everything else. Yeah. And
but was he trying to ride it or just mess with it?
He was just trying to mess with it. And he had a guy on the set that was explaining to him how to mess with the bull. Nope. He was like, try to avoid the front part.
You mess
go for his armpit.
Right.
I was just like, where'd you find it? This was actually Rex Henderson was the bull advisor on the show.
Sit in the other seat.
So yeah, it escaped from
you mess with a bull, you're gonna get the horns. That's just the way it goes.
So the 600 pound bull escaped its trailer, and then they just said the bull ultimately ended up in the Kennebec River. Now I'm gonna ask you guys, how old is Rex Henderson?
Okay. Oh,
Trick Crowdy, you are a guest. You can go first, Tig, or third. What spot
Tig's
do you
in the
want?
Middle slide.
Okay, I mean, his name's Rex. he's clearly got a lot of life experience, I think. Like, he's got solutions.
Yes,
he's got contingencies for every possible scenario.
So he's been in those scenarios.
So he's been
before.
Right. He's right, been through some shit,
Rex,
I think.
Rex makes you either go old guy or family name.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to say 48.
48 years old from Trick. Jason and Randy?
Let me ask you. Did you think that that's old or young? If you have 48.
I just feel like Rex Henderson ain't going to make it much past like 60, you know? Right. So it's old for them Henderson boys is what I'm saying.
Them Henderson boys.
He's right about that. I like your logic, and I was thinking in the same way. As I'm seeing him, he has a total full white head of hair, white goatee.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's 55. I mean, that's...
Okay.
I agree with you that there's no way he lives to 60.
Opposite direction. I think he's 29 years old.
29 years old.
I just think he's 29, full of like, I can do this. He's not married, but he's got a few kids.
Right.
That he, from different people.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's been engaged for a day.
He's been engaged for a while. He's been engaged to be engaged.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's that guy.
Right. Promise rings.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, all of our townies, play along at home or
shout
your car,
into your ham
or wherever
radios.
You're at. Get your answers in now because Dem Rex Henderson boy is 62 years old.
Oh, damn!
I'm going to take it a little bit farther. I felt it. I was with you, and I, you know
yeah,
what?
But I,
62.
You didn't think he lived past 60.
That's what I said. I was as wrong as you can be, because I said he ain't making it past 60.
He's like, I'm on gravy time.
Yeah,
he's
you know what it is? Tell me I won't live past 60.
Right?
Tell me I can't tell
you. You know what? You know what? He had a solution for that.
He had a solution for living past 60. He kind of is, he's literally sitting in the passenger seat of life right now.
He is.
And just drive until he gets caught.
Did any of you guys ever see that? It was a video that was viral at least 10 or more years ago, but it was where this police department in some city, like not a small town, like let's say Milwaukee or something, for a training exercise, were filming a DUI stop of this old, very drunk black dude who ended up getting, and I was totally with him, by the way, by the end of it, because it's a training exercise, they're really just
going through every
checking
little,
every single
everything.
Thing.
Yeah.
And so by the end of it, he's holding his hands up there and he's going, fuck the shit, take me to jail, put the cup, fuck the goddamn shit, fuck the shit. Yeah. You guys know what I'm talking about?
No, I've never seen that.
I don't, but now I want to.
He had the same, almost the same excuse, except he was in the driver's seat, but he said that a person was in his lap
driving,
and they dove out before they pulled him over.
So that's called the DUI elf. The DUI elf jumped out of my lap, out the window. We all know the DUI elf.
We don't want to get hit. We're riding tandem. You don't understand.
Thought we were a team, man.
All I did was accelerate. He was the one who was
going
crazy.
We were parachuting. The driver on my lap pulled the cord. I just was along for the ride.
You want to talk about team? Talk to Jan Flato.
There you go.
That's first story down in the book. Trey Crowder's with us. We'll talk about his awesome tour, the Well-Read Tour, and his book coming up right on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to Dumb People Town. Our guest is Trey Crowder. He is on a great comedy tour. If they come to your town, the Well-Read Comedy Tour.
R-E-D.
R-E-D,
as in Red State.
Is it, or Well Redneck.
Well Redneck, or Red, there you go. You
and that's the way you really position. It's so interesting. I want you to kind of talk about how you formulated your point of view almost. It's kind of, I love that it's sort of, it's come from within more than being influenced by the outside, which I love.
Yeah, so I grew up in this little town in Tennessee called Salina, up near the Kentucky border, but it's 2.5 hours away from any city that any of y'all have heard of. Two and a half hours from Nashville, Chattanooga, Knoxville, all of them.
Right.
And no stoplights, no Walmarts. I mean, it's very rural, very mm-hmm. small. And so just by nature of that, growing up there, like, I always just considered myself a redneck, like everybody mm-hmm. else I knew. We were all rednecks. That's who lived there is rednecks, yeah, which
right.
is
yeah.
true.
Right.
And fair. So I just always sort of viewed myself as a redneck, but I've also always had a huge chip on my shoulder about, like, well, you know, just because I'm from there and I sound like this, that don't mean that I'm an idiot or that I hate people, you know right. what I mean, that yeah. I'm a bigot or whatever, because I never was those things. And so, like, I just always, once I started doing comedy, which, like I said earlier, I was a comedy nerd, I'd thought about it and wanted to do it for so long, and by the time I started doing it, I was just, again, automatically, just because of all of that in my background, that's the type of thing that I was talking about from the beginning.
But that's the most personal thing to you, and we talk about this in comedy all the time. As Dan is developing into a wonderful stand-up comedian, he's doing material that is
Only material that Dan can do. Like, mm-hmm. his story, listen Dan, to Dan.
I mean, and we can say this because, sure. like, Dan has seen other comedians on a smaller bit. You saw a bigger comedian on a talk show
yeah.
do a version of what you had done.
Yeah, it was the exact same premise.
Okay, same thing happened to us, right. by the way,
yeah.
With actually Bill Maher on a bit that we had been doing. And you got to, in the first moment, you get upset and you go, okay, that feels, how did that happen?
Sure.
And then the next moment, you go, well, maybe that wasn't specific enough. If that person can do that bit too, then yeah. maybe what?
Right.
Maybe I can do something that's closer to you. The goal is to create a set of material that no other human can do.
Right.
You have clearly done it. Dan, you are doing it as well.
And you guys obviously have been doing it for a long time.
I just like that your parents obviously probably raised you in such a way that they're like, you know, it is literally how you get raised.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of time, like,
or you rebel against the way you
right.
were raised.
Right. So, like, with me, it was the way that I was raised pretty much, because I was raised almost entirely by my dad, a single father. And my dad was, he had one sibling, mm-hmm. my Uncle Tim, and mm-hmm. my Uncle Tim is gay. And my dad, told me that when I was probably 8 or 9, and he told me because he knew I was going to start. And when he told me, I didn't know what gay meant, any of that. He explained right. all that to me at that age because he knew that I was going to start hearing shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
About your uncle?
About a gay, yeah.
About or, gay
or, or just gay people in general.
Right.
But also my uncle, because again, small town, so everybody knew. So just all of that. So he explained it to me. And but of course, you know, I didn't care. I was just like, okay, fine.
That's just my Uncle Tim.
Yeah, because I always super close to my Uncle Tim, and
right.
I still am.
Right.
And him and my dad were always very close too. So
how crazy is it that I feel like it had to be that he had one sibling?
Right.
You know what I mean? Just having that one sibling is
right.
like, he's all you got.
Because if you've got a bunch of siblings, and,
you could be like, I don't know if I can connect with you. I don't know if I have to connect with you. This is making me uncomfortable and whatnot.
Right. And even with like my grandparents, so their parents, like my grandpa on that side was, I mean, in most every way, a very stereotypical Clay County, Tennessee, you know, old boy, a feller.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A feller.
But he, my uncle and his partner were, you know, at every birthday, every Thanksgiving dinner, every Christmas, all this stuff, my
and
whole
they accepted
life.
Him.
Yeah. Right. And
dude,
so,
that is the example by which that opens the door for everything that you're doing.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's what I've always, and I never thought about all that for a long time until I got older and realized that it was like, you know, not the norm. And then I started like processing it, and I realized that I think that is the primary thing, because see, that also took me out of the church. Because mm-hmm. the church that I had gone to as a kid was very stereotypically fire and brimstone about the evils of homosexuality or whatever, which had no impact on me until I knew. I didn't, you know what I mean? That all went over my head.
But then once it became real in your life, you're like, how do I reconcile?
They're talking about this
and
guy?
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not, I don't mean to say that like before that, I heard it and was just like totally fine with it. It was more like I was a kid.
Listening.
It just, right. It didn't land with me.
Mm-hmm.
But then once I knew that about my uncle and I started picking up on some of that stuff, immediately I was just like, well, fuck all that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Like, and so I told my dad, I don't think I want to go to church anymore. And I mean, he didn't go either. I was going with like aunts and cousins and stuff. So he was just like, hell yeah, you know, turn the Skinner back up. He didn't give a shit, you know. So, and so that, I chalk basically most of my thing up to those factors.
Does your uncle, how happy is he?
Oh my gosh.
About what you're doing
he
and how
he loves
you do,
it.
He probably is the biggest supporter of you.
Oh yeah. And he always has been. But I mean, yes, he's all about it. He tells
me all
the time.
Did you listen to S-Town?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think about that?
I mean, I liked it. I enjoyed it. It's funny when I had so many people like tweeting at me and stuff when it first came out. Yeah. It's like, you gotta listen to this. You know, the main guy, he's like a liberal redneck or whatever in it. But I mean,
this is an interesting, complex dude,
without a doubt. But I was gonna say, you guys had said, you know, you felt like I almost had to be raised that way, and again, I was. But the two guys that tour with me, Corey Ryan Forster and Drew Morgan, mm-hmm. they're also progressive Southern comics mm-hmm. that we've been buddies and doing comedy together for a long time
right.
before this actual formal tour. And they're in the same vein as me in mm-hmm. that way. And both of them grew up in the church, I mean, until they were 18, 19 or whatever. Their parents are not like the hardcore, you know, like real Bible-thumping troglodyte types. Mm-hmm.
But different than you.
But, I mean, they're more stereotypical in that way. Yeah. You know, I mean, they're conservative. They're Christian conservatives. I just mean they're not, like, the insane variety.
Right,
but
right.
they are that. But yet Corey and Drew, because of a rebel or contrarian thing or pushing mm-hmm. back against it, mm-hmm. they swung the other direction. Mm-hmm. But with me, yes, it was how I was raised, basically.
Awesome.
But, yeah, we typically, I don't know how you guys normally do it, but, like, we'll go out. Like, I'm going to... this Thursday, I'm going to Portland doing Helium.
Yeah,
Thursday,
great club.
I love it, too. But this will be the second time there. But Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, then come back. And then next week, now, so I'm back in L.A. next week, and then next weekend, Charleston, South Carolina. You know, so, like...
So you'll do, like, mixture theaters and clubs, yeah. and you come in and out of L.A.
But point is, it's pretty constant, and we go all over the place. So, yeah, if you're listening, you go to wellreadcomedy.com and see all the dates and all that. And, yeah, the book, The Liberal Redneck Manifesto, Dragon Dixie Out of the Dark, which is basically everything I just said about me and our upbringing and all that. Mm-hmm. That's what the book is about. I want to tell you guys a quick story about the name, though.
Please.
So, yeah, Well Read. It comes from Well Redneck is where that came mm-hmm. from originally, and it just sort of became our, like, group name and all mm-hmm. that. And it's always been fine. There's only been one time ever that anything weird happened involving the name. Mm-hmm. And it was at a comedy club in a more, like, conservative area, but not in the South. And we got there, and the owner was there. Initially, we just talked to him briefly or whatever, and then later he wasn't there anymore, and we asked, like, the manager, like, hey, what happened to, you know, Bob or whatever? Mm-hmm. And he told us that the owner of that club is a big-time conservative. He did not know what our thing was mm-hmm. when he booked us, and he, according to the manager, thought we were Native American comedians.
Well-read.
There's like, what? Like, well-read skin? Yes. Like, I don't think Native Americans would go by that.
Well, go watch
I mean, comedians,
Pan.
They might.
Go
know,
watch Peter Pan, the original cartoon, and there's a song called What Makes the Red Man Red? And you're like, I don't think you can see that.
But he thought we were Native American comedians. Then when somebody told us, like, no, they're like liberal redneck guy. You know, he's got like, in his car and left.
I will not have any of that.
So he was so mad that you weren't Native Americans, and then he was mad that you were, like, progressively,
you double dipped on
you double dipped on his anger.
Yeah.
Well, go check it out, wellreadcomedy.com, mm-hmm. and check out the book, The Liberal Redneck Manifesto. Is that what it is? You got it, man. Check it out. All right, we got another story.
Yes,
let's jump in.
This was sent in by Bolivian Giddy Up at Go Kart Mozart 47.
I'm all about this guy.
Yeah, I'm loving the handle. I'm loving like 11 life choices that this
person.
By the way,
I know. He's a great dude. He's been to
Go Kart Mozart is, and I know you know this. Like, did you have relatives that had CBs? That was the original internet.
Oh yeah, of course. Okay. I already said I had that truck driving grandpa. Paul
so
Miner?
He had a CB.
Yeah.
Go-Kart Mozart. That is
phenomenal.
That is a great CB
it's
name.
It's phenomenal.
Go-Kart Mozart, what's your 20?
But isn't that a line from
Blinded by the Light?
Blinded by the Light, originally in Bruce Springsteen's song, and then Manfred Mann.
Oh, damn, for real? Mm-hmm. I mean, I love that
Go-Kart
song.
Mozart checking out the weather charts.
Yeah,
seeing if it's
safe at
night. This dude is a great townie. He was at our live show in San Francisco. He was at our live show, our Dumb People Town Hall in Houston.
Oh, awesome.
So thanks, buddy, for sending this in. Police say three men broke into a woman's house.
Oh, boy.
If that were it stopped, I would never do
we
it.
We can't do this story.
Not
right.
cool.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then it all gets bad.
Okay.
Took her for a ride, stole her TV, then returned it and asked her not to call the cops.
So they basically
broke in.
They forced an Uber experience on her.
Exactly. She had to pay with her TV.
Right.
But they gave it back.
They gave it back.
She wouldn't agree to the deal, though, and now the trio face burglary charges.
Right.
Well, that's because you don't break into another like, right. We have a social contract.
Sure.
Like, are there ever... Do you feel like this sometimes? Because I feel like as each of these things that we thought were things that you can't do anymore, like, or that you could never do, like, the president of the United States can't call out, like, a regular citizen on Twitter. And then once that breaks down, you're like, can we just do anything?
I guess,
like,
I guess right. I don't have to stop at this stop sign, right?
Like, I guess no I could just around. Go to this person's house and take her out for a ride and take her TV, right? I mean, that's what we're doing, right?
I mean, yeah. I think that totally makes sense. You know, I mean, why should the rest of us hold ourselves to any higher standard?
I know!
So, giving you permission.
Hey, Zeus?
We're going to apologize to her, and we're going to return the TV.
I give everybody's address here. Okay. Hey, Zeus Vila of the 1100 block of East 6th Street, Ryan D. Davis of the 700 block of East Church Street. If you want to visit these
guys,
people.
These are all points on the walking tour.
Yeah. And John P. Parker, JPP.
JPP.
What's up, JPP?
Of the first block of Countryside Estates. I mean, he's right
Estates.
Once you get through that guard gate, he's right there.
All had bond hearings Friday afternoon.
That's got townhouse written all over it.
All over it.
Yeah, or there's I can't remember where we were driving from Burbank to Malibu, me and my wife, and somewhere along the way we passed a trailer park, but it's out here and it's called the something something Estates. Mobile Estates.
Mobile Estates.
So I'm assuming that this is that kind of estate.
Yeah, you look at that and you're like, look at all that land each place has got. They got estates out there.
States, estates. All three are charged with residential burglary and, if convicted, can face up to 15 years in prison. Police say in court records that Vila, that's Jesus, kicked the victim's door in on the 200 block of Boulevard Street. Guys, everywhere.
Boulevard Street, by the way, dumbest name for a street ever. What street is it? It's Boulevard Street. How'd you name that? Well, it's a street.
Well, Boulevard
it's Street. It's next to Avenue Lane. They remember that.
Oh, okay.
To kick the door in?
Yes.
And then offered him, where are you trying to go?
Kicked the victim's door in on the 200 block of Boulevard Street, only to realize she was home. So, at least give them credit that they were not trying to specifically victimize any person, let alone a woman. They thought the house was empty.
Right.
Okay?
Still
doesn't
shouldn't
make
have
it
been
better.
It,
doesn't but... make it better, but changes intent.
Yeah. So what do you say at that moment? You've kicked the door in.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Did
you call an Uber?
Surprise!
We're here.
Then you walk out backwards like at the end of Weird Science. You have a beautiful home. Sorry about the mess. Police say in court records that Vila kicked in the victim's door at the 200 block of Boulevard Street, only to realize she was home. At which point, the three men improvised and acted as if they were concerned for her well-being.
Well,
which means I hope they walked in, were like, can we get a suggestion from the audience?
I'm very scared right now.
Scared.
Hook her in a toilet.
I'll just be washing my hands right now in this fake sink.
Hey, it's raining inside your house.
Oh, man. How are you feeling right
now? I'm good. I'm your dad.
Should it be raining?
Get in here, honey.
I just showed up, honey.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you notice any droplets coming from the sky right now?
Oh, we're all on fire.
Okay. No, we're not.
Let's grab this one.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
No, we're not.
Quickly, you're going to catch fire.
No, my wife says we're not on fire. We're not on fire.
You guys are on fire on the inside. Let's get this woman out of here. Let's go.
No, we're not.
Grab the TV, too. We might need the TV.
Oh, good idea.
Oh, and scene.
As you're in the car driving away.
The woman's there just like, I'm way more scared now.
Right.
This is so much worse.
They improvised and acted as if they were concerned for her well-being, which means they mature. Like, are you okay?
Right, yeah.
I'm fine.
Boom.
I was fine until you kicked my door down.
Yeah. Right.
They gave her a ride to her friend's house to retrieve some things. So, which means maybe she's going along. Like, oh my God, am I in danger?
Yeah.
Let's go to my friend's.
Or, yeah, that almost makes it sound like, boom. Oh, shit, are you okay? We came to check. I was like, well, actually, now that you mention it, I couldn't use a ride to Sheila's.
Pick up a hairdryer from Sheila's.
She told police in court records that they gave her a ride to her friend's house to retrieve some things, but they got into a fight with her along the way.
Of course.
These guys? Yeah. No.
They seem like they have it.
Because she started being like, you know what, guys? First of all, take a left up here. I don't think there was anything wrong. There was something wrong.
There was something wrong.
No, I don't think there was.
Gonna tell me there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, I'm the one telling you because you came to my house.
We're giving you a ride. Why are you fighting with
us? Yeah, but I don't think I needed a ride.
If we were gonna steal something from your house, which like your TV, would we be giving you a ride at night now?
Yeah, if you wanted me to leave.
If we were gonna take the TV off the wall, would we
I didn't even smell smoke. I don't think the house was on fire.
You don't know what smoke smells like.
Yeah, they just mansplained to her what fire is.
Right.
Okay, let me tell you how fire works.
Like, I don't think you understand the dangers of it. It's not the fire that kills you. It's the smoke in
the
issue.
It's
said
the
that.
Thought of the fire.
They got into a fight as the men continued to mansplain things to her along the way, leading them to drop her back off at home. So they never even made it to Sheila's house.
Going to Sheila's.
She's like, you know what? Fine. You don't want anything from your friends? We're going back home. Like a parent threatening to turn
around.
Turn this car around.
Is this what you want? You think I'm going to this roller skate party for myself? I will go back home.
Uh-huh. I don't need it.
I will go back home.
I don't
home.
Need it.
This is Ma'anan Sheila, correct? From
yes,
Wild Wild Country.
Thank you. Are you into it?
So into it.
Done.
You finished?
So essentially,
Trey
Crowder could be the people in Antelope and the people at on the...
He's wearing red. Because he's wearing red.
Yeah.
But the... best part in that thing
open-minded.
Is the guy who stayed on the city council and seemed to collect all their stuff and then thought he turned into a spy.
The guy with the overalls.
He turned into
a
spy.
He's my favorite.
I'm sorry, we have really segued from the story, but
I know.
Come on, we're in Dumb People Town. We can go anywhere.
Said Sheila,
we're the town council.
I hear Sheila. It's a buzzer.
By the way, right. Trey Crowder made up the friend's name, Sheila.
Of course.
I know, but...
that's a made up.
I know, but like we're saying it so much that it's like evoking...
You know what I say to anybody who's mad that we're talking about Wild Wild Country? Tough titty. Remember when she says that?
Oh my God!
Okay,
beautiful.
Well, let's go back.
Please, we're
back. She's back at home.
So they drop.
You don't want your life saved? We're taking you back home.
We'll take you back to the danger that we initially
created.
Once
there, she found her 42-inch TV missing. You know what's crazy? If you think about this too,
42, not that.
That's what I was going to say. No,
huge TV.
You're wrong. We had this conversation when we watched Michigan almost not lose the national championship. 42 inches, small flat screen TV, right?
Yes.
But remember when somebody got a 35-inch tube TV when you were a kid, and you're like, that's the biggest
thing I've ever seen.
I mean, other than the projection, which you couldn't be on the side, you had to be straight on.
You had to be directly in it.
But remember
no
when 35
coming
inch
in.
Was like, that's a big TV.
Without a doubt.
Now 42, you're like,
because it was 35 inches across, and it was like 40 inches deep.
And like 7 feet tall.
Yes.
So
furniture.
We had a 35-inch TV, you know, not bragging.
You did, though.
But we did. Well, it's one of those red, you know, that old Jeff Foxworthy joke about being in a trailer but with a $10,000 stereo or whatever?
Yeah.
It was 100% that.
Yeah.
But we had a 35-inch TV, and then years later, after it had, like, it messed up. So my Meemaw lives in the house that I grew up in. My dad passed away a few years ago. My Meemaw lives there. The TV had stopped working, and it was in the back room just under this blanket. And she was calling me and telling me that I needed to come. This one, I still lived in Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted me to come, drive up 2.5 hours to haul that TV off.
It where?
To shoot it? Yes, because you have to shoot it.
Why?
They'll explode if you don't.
Oh.
Also.
She's right about all of this.
Also, time is a factor here because the mercury inside of it is poisoning her in her sleep.
She's not wrong. Meemaw is right.
She needs these three guys.
You and Meemaw would get along great.
She needs these three guys to come over to her house, take her fur ride, get rid of that
goddamn TV. Make sure they shoot it, though.
Right.
She needed these guys to kick her door down.
By the way, my second show that I'm pitching, we're already going to pitch Smell My Car.
Yeah.
Exhibit
Smell My Ride.
Smell My Ride. I'm pitching a show called Me and Meemaw.
Why not?
It's just me and his Trey Crowder's Meemaw.
Yeah. It would
hanging out.
I'd watch it. I'd watch the hell out of it.
Trying to rid her house of mercury.
Oh, she's something else, man.
I love it. So did you take it out and shoot it?
I had my buddy Kobe that I grew up with come and haul it off to the junkyard. And knowing Kobe, he probably shot it.
That's sure. Not because he had to, because
he
wanted to.
I mean, hell, he's got to. You know,
a lot of people in this world, though, all you need is to give him a reason.
Give him a reason.
Give
me a reason to shoot this TV. I will shoot this TV.
This is where it turns a little bit. So remember, here's what's happened so far. They kicked in her door. She goes, what the hell? They're like, we're here to save you. She said, thank you. They get in the car. They get in a fight. They take her back home to show her. Mm-hmm. And her TV's gone. Here's the next sentence.
Okay, so there's a fourth man?
Three men.
I know, but I'm saying...
Well, I don't know.
Okay, all
someone
right.
took the TV.
It sounds like a caper to me, I'm
exactly.
saying. Like,
exactly.
She
four people is a crew.
So she gets home where she finds her 42-inch TV missing.
Right.
She told police she texted one of the men.
So they got the exchange information.
Yes. Like, yes. At
please
some point,
give us 5 stars.
Right.
Yeah.
She told me she texted one of the men threatening to call police if they didn't bring her TV back. She's not taking any shit.
By the way, she has now all the power.
Yes. Yeah.
How does she have all the power?
She started out dumb by being tricked into thinking they were there to save her for no reason, but then at some point the tides turned.
I don't know. It sounds to me like they broke into their own goddamn Maymah's house.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Listen, she just took charge immediately. Uh-huh.
So she threatens to call police if they didn't bring back her TV.
Hashtag Maymah.
They did.
And according Maymah.
They did. And according to court records, when the woman retrieved her TV from the trunk, which means she went and got it herself.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even bring it back. She went and got it.
Davis told her, quote, "You got your TV back. Are you still going to call the cops?"
These guys are like completely at her mercy.
The rank, they broke into a house. They had rank then. Now they are way down here.
Yeah. Groveling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't call.
So these
don't
guys, we'll take you back to Sheila's.
Don't call the cops. We'll give you a ride any weekend.
Sorry
you
about
want.
That whole turning around
we'll
thing.
Reinstall the TV for you.
Davis and Vila's bonds were set at $50,000 by Judge Philip Montgomery because of their criminal histories. They remain in county jail on Friday. Parker was released on his signature, which means JPP was just along for the ride.
Yeah, literally. Literally.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Okay, the first one is Jesus Villa, right?
Villa, yeah.
And then the JPP, who, what's the middle guy's name?
That would be Ryan D. Davis, R-double-D.
R-double-D. Okay,
and then John PP.
Okay. I was thinking for a minute that JPP was the only white sounding name. He was released on a signature.
Yeah, that's
weird how that happened.
What's wrong with this?
But Parker, I guess RDD.
He did not have a criminal history. That was his thing. Parker was released on his signature. All three men are due back in court on May 4th, which is where we will be.
Well, on that day we'll be in Chicago.
This is the week leading up to it, right?
We only have a few tickets.
This is right before this.
This is the week when this drops.
This Friday, if you're listening to this when it drops.
We'll be doing a live Dumb People Town and then 2 stand-up shows around it. I think the early stand-up show is close to being sold out, although we might release a few tickets at the end, and then the podcast is sold out.
Yep.
But if you come to the late show, there's still tickets there.
I'm sure there'll be some Dumb
People
Town fun.
We'll do a little Dumb People Town in that, but that's on May 4th.
So all three men are due back in court on May
4th. Beautiful.
Which is when our show is at North Bar, live at northbar.com.
I love it.
I'm going to ask you guys this.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Whose home state did this happen in?
Okay.
Now, would that be Missouri for the Sklars, Illinois for me, or Tennessee, Trey Crowder, for yourself? You are our guest. You can go first, Tigger, third on this one.
I'll go first again.
Okay.
I almost asked like 5 times throughout that story where you had said it had happened at. I didn't know it was leading up to
I had not. I gave no clues.
You gave no clue.
Damn, you stood strong. You held your limit as a parent. That's beautiful.
Well, there's a Boulevard Street.
There is a Boulevard Street. And some estates.
Well, we grew up in St. Louis where the street that we grew up on was Olive Street Road. So, Boulevard Street.
Let's see. God. I mean, this woman, again, this sounds like the actions of a Meemaw type,
right,
to me. A strong will. Like, she had 6 kids. They're all gone now, but she still knows how to...
She knows how to fight.
She knows how to tell people what to do, get her way, whatever.
She has a tone of voice that can make people stop in their tracks.
And so, I mean, I'm going to say Tennessee.
Okay. Jason or Randy Sklar?
I think it's Missouri, and I'm not just being... I see it happening in, like, the boot heel of Missouri. I think it's down there, Cape
Girardeau. It's Tennessee.
Tennessee?
Yep.
All right, all of our townies, get your answers in for whose home state did you think this happened in, Missouri, Illinois, or Tennessee?
Are we going to do who do we think is right? Whoever we do that too?
Yeah, we can do that. Who do you think is right?
Well, maybe it's none of us.
That's an option, because no one said Illinois.
Don't you normally, and I know it's normally age, but you usually do who is right.
Right.
Whenever someone got it exactly right.
Does anybody believe in anybody else, in which case they could have said that?
I believe
that.
I'm right. Well, of course you believe you're right. All right, Dan.
Everybody feels good?
Yeah.
Okay. The tale of the men who broke into a home and got more than they bargained for. I'm getting good at that part.
Jesus,
of
Dan.
Summarizing it.
Stop.
Happened in Sycamore, Illinois.
Oh my God! We were all wrong.
15 minutes from my hometown.
He said Tennessee. Trey said Tennessee.
I did say Tennessee.
I know, but Trey was right in saying it could all be wrong.
It could all be wrong.
Yes.
You were correct.
What did you say? How far do you know Sycamore?
I was in Sycamore last week.
Does that check out? That story?
The three guys, and so I had to take this out because it would give where they're from. It literally says the three sandwich men because they're from Sandwich, Illinois. And I was like, we could have a good run on just what's a sandwich man.
I thought you just meant like, you know, just the
Italian beef or sausage or whatever. Right, like, yeah. They're just.
I've never been to Sandwich, Illinois.
I'm a sandwich man too.
In my mind, in Sandwich, Illinois, no one has clothes. They just wear sandwich boards.
That's it. It's also, like diehard.
I like to think of that town as like squeezed between two other towns.
All right. All right.
At Sklar Brothers.
Breadville and Loaf Town.
Toward the end of the story,
yes.
You said they're due back in court on May 4th, and then you said, which is when we're going to be. And then you start, and I almost asked, wait, this was in Chicago?
Yeah, we're going to be there.
But on May 4th is the same date as our show.
Which just so happens to also be in Illinois.
Court, right, yeah.
Because at the time when you said it, I thought you were
going to be in court with them.
Right, yeah. We're also going to be in court.
We could show up to the hearing.
That could have been a tell. That could have been a tell.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I thought it, but then right after that, you asked the question. I was like, nah, there's no way that's what it meant.
All three men are due back in court on May 4th.
All right.
Which is the same date.
Same day that we'll be there, and we'll be kind of in their vicinity. All right, give us a little taste of what we're going to see in this last segment.
A woman has the best reason for why she has drugs.
All right.
You got it.
She wanted drugs.
That's very good logic, Jay Crowder. All right, stay with us. One more segment, Dumb People Town, right after this.
All right, guys, welcome back to DPT.
Oh,
come on, Dan.
Dan.
I went to DPT. We've got our final segment here. Dan, give us a story to take us home.
Here we go. This was sent in by, BUSCAPE, but it's got the little over the E.
Buscape?
Buscape?
Buscape.
Buscape. Buscape. Buscape. Buscape. Mm-hmm. At Haji Bueller. HodgiBueller. Thanks, Haji Bueller.
Bueller.
Fry.
A Florida woman tried to get out of being found with cocaine in her purse by telling people she had no idea where it came from.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
Kenesha Posey was in the passenger seat of a car. A lot happened in the passenger seat today. A lot.
We are living in the passenger side.
Yeah. In Fort Pierce, Florida, when she was stopped on March 21st. Police said there was a strong smell of marijuana coming from the vehicle. Mm-hmm. When they searched her bag, cops found marijuana and a small bag of cocaine.
Okay.
Posey said that she...
What do you do when that is the case?
It's not mine.
I mean, yeah, that's chapter one, right?
Wasn't me. It's Shaggy, the Shaggy defense.
Yeah, defense.
But I'm the cop who pulled you over.
Wasn't me.
Sorry for anybody who knows.
Saw you reaching in your purse. Wasn't me.
Posey readily admitted to owning the first drug, but said the second was not hers. So she went, weed?
Mine.
Yes. Yeah.
Cocaine?
I have no idea. I have no idea how I got it.
Well, that's that, like... I'll admit to a lesser thing to make you think that I'm an honest person.
I'm giving a little bit.
So then when I tell you that appeared out of nowhere.
If I was guilty, I would have said none of it was mine.
This lady can't be lying. Officer, she admitted to having the weed.
Can I tell you part of the truth?
How about that?
So the weed, she says, that's all me.
That's all me.
Cocaine, she said, was not hers. Quote, I don't know anything about any cocaine. When you start double using words, you're lying.
Trying to tell y'all.
I don't know anything about cocaine. I'm trying to tell y'all that is the phrase.
Quote, it's a windy day. Here it comes. It must have flown through the window and into my purse.
It was worth a shot, man.
you as Michael Jordan once said, you make none of the shots you don't take.
I mean, it is Florida, right. You know, like if it was ever going to...
Storms roll through
if it was
all
ever
going to,
you know,
there are bags
the wind blow in cocaine, it would be in Florida.
Look, if ever there was a state, that's right, where it's raining cocaine.
This story is so short. Literally, that's the only detail.
There are bags
of
cocaine swirling around Marco Island right now.
Right.
I hope she said, because there's nothing better than when people preface a lie. Like, when they're like, what's the deal with cocaine? If I tell you, you're going to believe me? Because there's no sense in me going through what I'm about to tell you if you're not going to believe me. Like, I have no clue what you're going to say. Are you going to believe me or not?
Are
we just lying?
Do we not care?
Right. Do we not care about the truth? Because that's what I care about.
Because that's all I care about.
She said, it must have flown through the window and into my purse.
You know how a bag... Like that, you know how a bag can sometimes... Like
in American Beauty, that bag.
Yeah.
That, but only with cocaine in
it. A little powder
in it. Into her car.
By the way, a bird couldn't do what she just described.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, flying through a window.
If she was Harry Potter and, like, had the power of wizardry, she couldn't do what that
But guys, what if that is what happened?
I mean...
Police did not accept her unlikely version of events and took her into custody on one felony count of cocaine possession.
That is ridiculous.
And a misdemeanor count of marijuana possession. She was released on bond.
Good. Good for her.
Isn't that crazy?
It's so short, but it's so cute.
If you could see the amount of townies, I stopped at one point because I first I was like, this is way too short. But then we got so many people sending it. It's like, we have to acknowledge this happened in dumb people's
town. I am now going to say this to my kids when they want something that there is no, like my 10-year-old wants a phone. And I'm like, when cocaine flies,
if a phone flies through the window into my wallet or bag or my tote, whatever, you can have it.
So I have a question for you guys now that this story's happened. I've been listening to the show past few weeks, digging it. And maybe this has to have been broached in one way or another before, but I've just been wondering, did you guys have to make up some kind of rule or anything regarding submissions involving the state of Florida, or like limit it to whatever? Because I just feel like
a lot of Florida stuff.
I mean, yeah.
So
you know,
today,
Florida.
But
we only
today
had one
all
today,
over the,
and today we only had one in Sarah's.
Right. So today we were Illinois, Madison, Wisconsin, and Florida. I think it's now starting to disperse.
I mean, listening to it. It is spread out. Did you have to tell people?
The only criteria for stories is
can't die.
Yeah, can't die unless they kill themselves and it's really funny,
right?
And not in a tragic way, like a guy who went over the Niagara Falls and like made a website being like, "I'm gonna go over Niagara Falls," and then there was a big debate whether or not he had done it. Like,
right?
Yeah, he did it.
Yeah. He made a website.
Can't hurt kids. Can't hurt women. I'm not interested in dudes who are like being creeps towards women. Like a woman came home and in the shower, the guy got into the shower. They're like, no, that's not pleasant for anybody, and it's not funny.
No.
So yeah, there is like criteria for that stuff, but no.
That last one you said.
Yeah.
Not the shower part.
Sure.
But
the guy on the door.
Counterpoint.
Yeah.
I think it can be funny. Again, I almost brought this up earlier. You guys know who Jim Bob Cooter is?
Yes, of course. Indianapolis Colts offensive coordinator, I believe.
Detroit Lions.
Detroit Lions,
Matt
Stafford. That's what I'm going to say, yeah.
He was a backup quarterback at the University of Tennessee. Go Vols.
Yeah.
Are you going to tell this story?
And while he was, very briefly, I'll tell it.
This will be our final thing. We get a story from Trey Crowder.
While he was there, and again, Jim Bob Cooter. This is a very Jim Bob Cooter thing
he's
to do,
on brand.
I would imagine. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
His name encompasses everybody's sexual genitalia.
Yeah, I feel like his name presumably is James Robert Cooter, you know, but everybody was just like,
Jim Bob Cooter.
No, you Jim Bob.
You Jim Bob. Right. WWJBCD. What would Jim Bob Cooter do?
Well, I'll tell you what he'd do.
Yeah. We're about to find out.
When he was a student there, and this is how the story goes, and also what his explanation was, he broke into a girl's apartment and climbed into bed with her in his underwear.
Yep.
He says because he lived in that apartment, had only recently moved out, and was hammered drunk and thought
it was his place.
He was going back to his place. It's like he was locked out, so he's like, well, I'll just crawl in my bedroom, you know.
Yeah.
And so he opens the window, crawls in there, and gets in bed with her. And again, not for her, but that's about as funny as that type of thing.
As long as he doesn't touch her or nothing happened to her. Or she beats the shit out of him.
Right. Yeah.
Or he freaks out, starts crying. Like
She took his Jim Bob and turned it into a cooter.
And then, too, then that's intent. So he was an idiot.
Right.
But it's like a predator, never going
to
be.
To me, that guy, like, remember we had a story where a guy
jumped off a mosque.
Got naked, went into
a fire escape, then got into an apartment building.
Climbed into bed, took a shower.
The people were like, you're running from the cops, take a shower and get into bed with one of our kids to hide from the cops.
The parents said that.
And now you're like,
knowing nothing about the guy other than he was running from the cops, they were like, we're on your side.
That's good.
And he did it?
Yes,
like,
he did it.
Even that guy, I would be like, I'll just go to jail, man. Shit. Like,
Pulp Fiction moment. Like, Spider has caught over.
Why are you adding more charges to what I'm going to be charged with in that instance? Jim Bob Cooter. We end a show with Jim Bob Cooter.
Yeah. No other way to end.
Thank you, Trey Crowder. Go see him on the Well Read, R-E-D, comedy tour. You can check it out at wellreadcomedy.com.
Redneck, the book is?
The Liberal Redneck Manifesto.
Liberal Redneck Manifesto. You can get it on Amazon, right? Mm-hmm. Can you get it on Audible?
We recommend that because it's read by you.
Go to Audible, pick up our thing, which is Sklars and Stripes, our audio documentary that we did where we go into different towns and try and create comedy in the towns that we're in. 10 cities, 10 chapters. We did that. Sklars and Stripes, pick that up. And then, oh, by the way, tonight, this is the last thing I'll say, our special, which we did last year, which has our own Left Wing Redneck Mitt in it, is going to be out on Stars, I believe, tonight at 10 p.m. on Stars. You can watch our special on the Stars Network.
Or you get it on the app.
On the app anytime
on
you want.
Demand, but on demand. The app.
It's called Hipster Ghosts, and that's on right now. Daniel, anything for you?
Just come hang out with me in Chicago and then outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma at West Salem Springs the next day.
With us.
And I will give people a heads up, I guess really quickly I can let people know. John Roy and I are doing some touring, co-headlining dates. We're going to be in Portland in June and we have other dates coming and we'll probably have him on here to talk about it and promote it. But we'll let everybody know when that stuff gets closer. So be on the lookout. I'm coming your way.
Love that you have an open invite, my friend. This is so nice to have you back.
We're in your wheelhouse. I was hoping when you said that you were going to say, tell me what to do.
You tell me I have an open invite. And oh shit, we got to get back to work.
It's a good show.